Fasting is not about food. What is it about? It's about prayer. Fasting is about prayer. Fasting is about relationship with God and how that translates into relationship with others. Fasting is never about food, even though we fast food, not McDonald's, but fast food, we focusing on prayer. Focusing on prayer. Why should we fast? Well, let me read a passage. Proverbs chapter 8. This is wisdom talking. Wisdom. Wisdom says, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice on the heights along the way where the paths meet? She takes her stand beside the gates leading into the city at the entrances. She cries loud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain wisdom. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true. My lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them are crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. All of my wisdom, all of my ways are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Remember the song we sing? Lord, you are more precious than silver. Well, same with wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence, with wisdom, with good decision-making. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. Really, wisdom has power? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Wisdom has power to do what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. Anybody know that one? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Amen. Well, today in the very first day of 2017. Awesome. Yay, Happy New Year. Woohoo! Bringing in the new year with a fast and prayer. I want to present to you today that we use the soap. We use the soap as we pursue God in fasting and prayer. And try that. There we go. And here's where we're going to go. Don't think of fasting and prayer as a big, hard, difficult thing. Because one small change brings big blessings. Amen? It's true. I share it a lot in various settings. One small change brings big blessings. For example, if you stopped eating sugar, one small change, that's not a small change. That'd be bring big blessings, wouldn't it? How much healthier? We all say it. I just need to cut down on my sugar. In the back, I have for you some Bible reading plans. They're in the stand-up folders there, and the plastic stand-up holders. And there's some white ones that are Bible reading book, the Bible books just from the beginning to the end. And the books in the order. The yellow ones are written for you to read the Bible in chronological order. As the events of the Bible unfolded, you're reading it that way. So chronologically or just book by book, those Bible reading plans are back there for you to use. Please take them and read them. It's a great way to get through the Bible in a year. And during the fast and prayer, January 1st, January 21st, we encourage you to fast in some form or fashion. Maybe it's a meal a day. And sometimes that feels like, wow, a meal a day, that's a big deal. You'll be surprised how easy that becomes. And if fasting a meal is not doable for you, fast an activity. You ever spend too much time on Facebook? Internet? On the phone? Fast an activity, and you're trading out that time for Jesus, okay? Now, I've been paying attention just to how we kind of address prayer and fast in the last several years, and most of it's been about food, or as Steve mentioned, how much weight I lost. We don't say much about how much better my prayer life is with Jesus. We don't talk about that. I think we're missing the mark. Prayer and fast isn't about how much weight I lost, although that's a great thing. It's about how much deeper I got to go with Jesus, that I developed a new attitude, that I have a new habit that is increasing my relationship with Jesus. Using your fasting time to read Scripture, to listen to what God is saying to you, and to pray. Use a journal, your computer, some way of recording your thoughts, your questions, your observations through your reading time. I've prepared a prayer guide for you. It's in your bulletin. In fact, take your bulletin insert out and follow along today. You'll want to take some notes, I think. And at the end of that bulletin insert is a prayer guide for you to pray using those various topics. Add your own, of course. Excuse me. Starting a new year is a great time to make a lasting change to be more like Christ in your attitude or in your character or behavior. I'll share today one way to discover, develop, and deploy one small change that will bring big blessings to your life and to those lives around you. This 21-day prayer and fast is designed to help you discover what you need to do in your prayer time and your reading time. It'll help you develop how to do it, and you will have a way to deploy how to put a plan of change, one small change, into action. The method I present to you today is easy, but it is going to take some time and some thought. Anything worthwhile will take some time and some thought. Excuse me. So in the next 21 days, regardless of how you fast, or even if you don't fast, use this method to come closer to Christ and bring one change, lasting change, to your life. We provide suggested scripture readings for you to use. Today I'll explain the SOAP method of studying and applying what God teaches you in Scripture. There are four steps to making lasting change. We've all said that we'd go too fast. Would you agree? Life just, whew, where'd Christmas go? Where did Thanksgiving go? Here it is, the new year already, and we're just, it's all a blur. And slowing down is huge when it comes to going deeper in Jesus. We can't go fast and go deep at the same time. Excuse me. Going fast means we cannot go deep in the heart of God. I suggest spending 7 days in each of the sections I'm going to provide to you today. Spend 7 days, for example, in reading Scripture. Reading it. You might choose one scripture, stay with it all 7 days. You can go deep when you read the same thing for 7 days. Anybody ever watched a movie more than once? Yeah. Okay. My favorite movie, Apollo 13. I've watched it 9 times. Maybe more. I never tire of it. Why? Because it was in my history. I was alive when that thing, you know, happened, and it was well done, and I never get tired of Scripture. I get, you know, you see things on the third time of watching a movie that you missed on the first. Well, the same in Scripture reading. You see things. God brings you more things the more you read it. So let's begin. and to get some insights. First of all, to discover God's will, Scripture. Read Scripture to comprehend it, not just read it. You and I know that we can read Scripture with our brain thinking about something else, right? I remember in school reading things, my brain is somewhere else. I read 3 pages, don't have a clue what I read. Okay? Read it for comprehension. How do you do that? Read what's before the Scripture, what's after the Scripture. Answer a few questions like, who is the author talking to? What's the message? What's the point here? What are other passages that are similar to this one talking about? So on and so on. So using your cross-reference in your Bible, using a concordance, various Bible helps to go a little bit deeper. What is this passage saying? How can I understand this? So read for comprehension. And again, there's some Scripture readings provided for you. You can choose to use those if you'd like. Devotional readings are nice, but I encourage you to read Scripture, not just a devotional. Devotions are nice, but they are someone else's thought for you. Let's let God speak directly to you. And so go straight to Scripture. Reading Scripture in a quiet place where, you know, maybe that's the hard thing at your house, is finding a quiet place. Some place where you can have a few minutes without interruption and have time to think about what you're reading and then start writing down some thoughts. Step 2, observation. Observation. From your Scripture reading, write answers to the questions like that are listed in your bulletin. Add more questions to this. Who's the author speaking to? Is he talking to Jews, Gentiles, nations, kings? Is he talking to you? What is the author's message? Is it hope? Is it warning? Is it a command to obey? Is there a sin for me to avoid? Is there a promise for me to claim? Is there someone I should be praying for? What changes in my life will obeying this verse require of me? That's a great question. What blessings could come from me obeying this command? Is there someone I should speak to or somewhere I should go? Who am I to forgive? Am I willing to receive forgiveness from God or a specific person? Develop your own questions. And so by going through these questions, you're reading for 7 days. You're answering questions for 7 days, the same 7 days, that first section. So you're reading, you're observing, you're answering questions. And you're letting God take those questions and develop something that it'll come to the surface. This is a person I need to go to. This is an attitude I need to change. This is a behavior I need to employ or a behavior I need to get rid of. But whatever it is, it will come to the surface as you do this 7 days in a row. And then next, develop a plan. We're going to talk about some application now. Develop a plan. Spend 7 days in application. Take the answers you've written from the questions in step 2 and begin developing one simple change. Remember this, one simple change brings big blessings. And put those answers into action in your life. At first, you may find your new action point is really difficult to do. But with practice, it gets easier. It's been said for many, many years that 21 days makes a change. I disagree. Not for Delbert Durfee. Give me 6 months, I might have it down. I might have it down. And so practicing this first 3 weeks, when the prayer and fast is over, the mindset is kind of like, now I don't have to do this anymore. And we throw away the very good change we just started. Don't do that. Build this change into your life and say to yourself, this isn't a diet that I start and quit. This is a lifestyle that I'm working on. This is an ongoing, till I breathe my last, kind of change I'm making in my life. Dads, is there one way you can change your behavior that will benefit your kids? That might be the change God is bringing to you. Wives, is there one way you can a change you can make in your relationship with your husband? Children, as we talked about this morning, a change you can make in your relationship with your brothers or sisters or your parents. Applying God's word to your life is going to bring at least two blessings. First is internal peace, peace on the inside, powerful peace. Let me read this, Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to Philippians 4. It says this. Verses 6 through 9. 4, 6 through 9. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends your understanding, it goes beyond your understanding. How do I have this peace inside of me? I don't even get it, but it's there. That's what this passage is saying. It transcends your understanding. Will guard your hearts. Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace is just not lack of conflict. Peace is knowledge, wisdom. As we read in Proverbs 8, wisdom is power. Power to overcome. It's power to stay firm, to stand in the right place when you're getting pressure to move. Peace. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, what is ever admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me is seen in me. Put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Practice. Putting things into practice. Internal peace you'll have. Secondly, you'll gain confidence that you're in a right standing with God through obedience. Here's one place that I think a lot of us struggle with. Am I absolutely sure of my salvation? In talking with people over the years, I've kind of seen a pattern. And the pattern is, I'm good with Jesus when I'm obeying him. When I'm not obeying him, I'm not sure heaven is my home. Now, I don't want to discount disobedience and say it's no big deal. We're not going there. What I am saying is that when I view my sin as that which destroys my relationship with God, I gotta do not pass go, do not collect 200. I'm mistaking Scripture. I lose my confidence. And when I lose my confidence, I go one of two directions. I say, ooh, I need to regroup. That's a good thing. Or I say, I've gone this far. Might as well go the rest of the way too. Confidence that you're standing in the right place with God is powerful. 1 John chapter 2. Let me read this for you. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says this. My dear children, I write this to you that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Who is that? Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to him if we obey his commands. We can have confidence that we're standing right with him. Why? Because in a prayer and fast, when you are saying, Lord, help bring one change that you know I need to make in my life, and I employ that change in my life, it brings out confidence. It brings peace to me. I'm standing right with God. Okay, now everybody say that with me. I'm standing right with God. Okay, say it one more time. I'm standing. Now say it with a smile. I'm standing right with God. Did it feel different? When you say I'm standing right with God, or I'm standing right with God, there's a difference in how you feel about that. I'm standing right with God. Why? How do I know that? Because God is helping me change to be more like him. And the prayer and fast is a perfect place and time to employ that change. Prayer. Obviously, Ask God to fill you with his strength to obey through the Holy Spirit who lives in you. What change is he bringing to you? You might already know before you even go to Scripture, because God's been working on your heart already. One small change brings big blessings. Pray. Praise him in prayer. Praise him for helping you develop a plan for honoring him in your church and in your community. Remember, the more you look like Jesus, the more intentional you are about becoming like him, you represent and represent a more accurate Jesus to the community. Yes? And you represent and represent your church to your community. I represent you in the community. Is it important that the pastor keep his nose clean in the community? It's same importance as you. It's not less important. Well, the pastor, he really needs, because he's, you know. No, yes, it's a big deal when pastors fall. But it's no different than you. Do you agree? Do not discount how important you are in your community. Remember, spiritual growth increases your physical health, your mental well-being, and your ability to relate to others as God designed. You won't regret carving out the time to spend with God. And now let's go to step four, the Action Power Plan, what I call the app. Everybody needs an app. How many apps do you have on your phone? I don't have that many compared to, I look at some phones, wow, there's pages of apps. And an app is a powerful thing. It's a wonderful thing to have. We need to have an app, an action power plan. Spend 7 days putting together your action plan. So let's put it into action. Step four, putting my plan into action. First of all, there's an app statement. An app statement. Write out your action plan. Keep it short and simple. It should be a sentence, no longer. What does an action plan sound like? Well, it has verbs in it. Okay. It doesn't say, I'm going to or I will. You know why it doesn't say that? Because it puts that action plan into the future. I will someday. I'm going to. Haven't started yet, but I'm going to. Okay, so instead of that, just start it, perhaps with a verb. Delbert knows he needs to start walking again. Walk 4 days a week. See? That's an action plan. That's a statement of an action plan. What's yours? Read Scripture 3 times a week. What is your action plan? He's got one. Action plan. Write it out. Keep it short. Keep it simple. An app plan. Oops. An app plan. Remember that this is not focused on what you're going to stop doing. It's focused on what you're building into yourself. And guess what's going to happen? When you focus on what you're building into yourself, what you need to stop doing starts to fade away all by itself. That's going to happen. Don't focus on what you have to stop. Focus on what you are going to start, what you're doing. So things like when to begin. This is the fun part of writing an action plan. When will I begin? Actually put it on the calendar. Maybe it's your wall calendar. Maybe it's on your phone calendar. But you put it on the calendar. Someplace that you see, I have a date book. All that stuff goes in my date book. I open it up. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to walk today. I need that kind of reminder. Where will you put it where you can see it and write it down? When will you start? You put down the date. And the next question is, what time of that day are you going to start? Because we can say, oh, I'm going to do it today, and oops, it's bedtime. Day's gone. What time of day are you going to start? Be specific with your action plan. When to begin? Where to begin? Where are you going to do this new thing? And how often are you going to do it? Monthly? Weekly? Daily? Perhaps hourly? Write it down, and write down what is realistic for you to do. Okay? every one of us would say we should read our scriptures every day and never miss one for the next 365. That's not realistic. It's nice, but it's not realistic. Start with what you can do so you don't set yourself up for failure. So if you don't read your scriptures at all, except for at church when you hear somebody read it to you, then sit down and say, for you, realistic might be 2 times a week. Guess what? That's 2 times more than you were before. Is that right? Is that success? That's a good thing. Yes, that's a good thing. Don't look at, well, I'm not reading 5 days a week. Don't go there. Start at 2. You can always increase. Amen. That's right. Praising the Lord here. Okay, everybody help out. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, and an app mindset. We got to have a mindset. This is key, you guys. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. An app mindset says this. I will experience setbacks in my plan. I will. I'm going to forget to do it one day. Something's going to get in the way of it, whatever it be. And I'm going to have the temptation to say, see, it doesn't work. It's going to work. And I quit doing it altogether. Don't do that. Instead, set it up so that you say, I know somewhere along the line, this isn't going to happen for me. And when it does, here's how I'm going to respond. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to pick it up that day or the next day or whenever the next time I'm doing this and just keep on going. I'm not going to let one mistake, one failure make me quit. Now, a lot of times we can go there. Okay, so an app mindset that's ready for when Satan wants to attack. And by the way, he will when you have a failure moment, won't he? See, you're not good at this. You can't do this. God's disappointed in you. You might as well quit. But you've already put into your plan, when that happens, I'm just going to keep on going. And then an app helper. This is really important. Without a helper, I can hide and give myself escape routes out of my plan. I can say, I don't want to do it today. I just want. Nobody knows. It's no big deal. With a helper, you're just saying, hey, Michelle, here's my plan. Would you look it over? Okay. I want you to start praying for me. Oh, you show me your plan. Great. I'll start praying for you. And we're going to check in once a week just to see how our plans are going. All right? So when my plan isn't working for me, here's what I want Michelle to do. First of all, here's what I don't want Michelle not to do. Delbert, what you need to do is, I don't want Michelle to do that for me. Why? Because, right. Yeah, it's her fault if it doesn't work, if her new idea doesn't work. Okay? Michelle needs to ask me questions to help me decide what I need to do to change. So what about your plan, Delbert? Isn't working. Well, this, Oh, okay. Well, what are you going to do to get around that? Well, I guess I could do that instead of this. Okay, well, let's put that into play and try it next week. All right. Next week comes. She says, Delbert, how'd that work? It worked great. I got around the problem, and I can keep on going. Okay, so she asks me questions to help me figure out what I'm going to do to make it better and keep the plan working. That's all this is. So, for example, if I say I'm going to walk 4 days a week and I only walk 2, she's going to ask me questions like, what happened that you didn't walk 4? Well, I had too much on my schedule. Okay, well, how are you going to figure that out? What do you do about that? Well, I'm either going to put less on my schedule, or I'm going to get up at a different time of day to do this, or I'm going to choose a different time to walk. What are you going to choose, Delbert? So I tell her, she says, okay, let's try that next week. Off we go. It's just that simple, you guys. Being helpers, we're not telling each other what to do. We're asking questions to help figure out what needs to be done so that we can keep going. That's all that there is to this. It's really simple. It's really effective. One small change brings big blessings. Say that with me. One small change brings big blessings. That's what this message is all about. That's what the prayer and fast is all about. It's not about food. It's about Jesus. It's about becoming more like him. And then when 21 days is over, when we hit January 21st, we're thinking December 31st of this year. I'm going to keep brand plan working then, and next January, I'm going to work on the next thing God has for me to do to help me be more like his son. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Good stuff. Amen? Amen. Worship team, come on up. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for the opportunity to hear from you. Lord, you are a strategic guy. You have plans. You tell us, Jeremiah 29, I have plans to bless you, not harm you. You plan. Teach us now to plan. Father God, I ask your help in my own personal plan, and that each of us would choose to make a plan, whether we're fasting or not, to be more like your son. God, that we could then just turn that plan into from a thought to a practice to a lifestyle. Thank you, Father, for the truth that one small change brings big blessings. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we're going to sing a song.